very much, really. And Terry and I were talking, his wife, Catherine, she's going through a lot. She's in some serious heavy treatments right now, and it's hard on both of you, so I want to take a moment and just lift her up, and you can let her know we prayed special for her. That Father, well, you know, when others hurt, we hurt. And you said, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And we weep with her. And she's in heavy treatments. And it's kicking her hard. And Terry's there to support. But God, you're there to support them both. And you're there to, we ask your healing grace upon her and your healing strength and power upon Terry. That you guide them through this. And you give them the strength to endure, to go through, to do whatever you want done. But Lord, we lift them both up to you. And ask you to just hold them in your loving arms and whisper to them each day, I got you. I got this. It's going to be okay. We pray this and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Sure. Absolutely. We're going to John 15. Been a while since we've been in John 15. And we're looking at a message in I haven't brought to a church in years, a long time, because it's kind of spooky, and I just haven't been led there. But it's a hard-hitting one, and it's comforting if you're in the right place, and it's not very comforting if you're not. But that's what it's all about. So let me read in John chapter 15. And by the way, I work John over a lot. John is one of those books I read consistently. And 1 John. And I often lead people. They say, I'm not familiar with the Bible. Where do I start? I often tell them, I start them in 1 John or the Gospel of John. If you want to know what is sort of the lightest, easiest gospel to read for most people, it's actually Mark. And so, but I'm a John guy. So I go to 1 John, say, read that, how much he loves you, be grounded in the faith, go to the Gospel of John and read that. But if you need someone to just kind of get to become acquainted with the scriptures, Mark's probably about as good as any to give a little lighter introduction to the Gospels. But I go John, and then 1 John, and then John. But in the book of John, in chapter 15, I've always struggled with these verses. I really have. And frankly, I say these things, I pastored churches where I couldn't be honest and say there's some passages I struggle with. Are there passages in Scripture that you don't really like if you're honest as a Christian? I mean, you want to obey them and you'll do them, but do you like them? No. And I don't either. There's just something, I don't know, there's some of them that just kind of like, why didn't he have to say that? You know, it's just like, he just cut out all the fun, you know, just when he said that now, you know, but he said it, so we have to do it. But after you get to know Jesus more and longer, you do like them. But some of them are problematic, and so let's look at one that's been problematic for some people for some time, and we'll get through this, and it won't be as much a problem when we're through today. And this is the New American Standard that I'm using. You know, I never stay with one version, translation. I don't see any point in it. I'm not one of those guys hung up. You know, whatever fits that reads the best for what we're trying to get across is what I'm going to use. So he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. And I don't like that passage. Do you? You're bearing fruit and he's going to prune you anyway? You know, it's like, seriously? Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what he says. And so, you know, just look at it for what he says. He takes, you know, if you don't bear fruit, he's going to take you away. That's really bad. But if you bear fruit, you're going to get pruned. So don't you bear more fruit. And he says, you're already clean because the words I've spoken to you. Now he said, abide in me. Live in me. Be in me, you know, and I like it, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And he said, you're not going to bear fruit reading the scripture. You can memorize all of it you want, and you can quote scriptures to everybody else, but if you're not bearing fruit, you're not a part of me. That's scary, huh? But that's what it says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, okay? He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That little verse right there has caused a lot of consternation and difficulty for many a person, because it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. You ever read this? I mean, for serious? We read stuff, and then, but I mean, if you read it to where it soaks in, that's serious business here. And he said, if you don't abide in me, I'm going to throw you away as a branch, and you'll dry up. And they, whoever they is, and I'm not going to try to speculate. Some have said they who, angels, God, you know, does it matter? They'll do it. They'll gather them, and they'll cast them into the fire, and they'll be burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything you wish and it'll be done for you. That's a tough one there, because it's dependent on abiding in him. And I'm wondering sometimes, well, just how much am I abiding? There's some things I'm praying for that haven't happened yet. You ever do that to yourself? And there's other things, because 1 John says you got to read the whole scripture as a whole. He says, if you pray according to God's will. So I'm thinking, I must do a lot of praying that's not in accordance with his will then, because there's some prayers. You ever do that? You know, and you think, okay, when are these going to be answered? And then you read stuff like that and say, oh, did I not pray according to your will? So anyway, we're not going to try to cover all of that, but we'll hit as many points as we can. He says, just as the Father has loved me, he said, by the way, my Father's glorified in this, that you bear much fruit. So he said, how's God glorified? By singing and praising, that's one way. But how's he really glorified? By bearing fruit. And he says it right there, that you bear much fruit, and that proves, he said, that you're my disciples. Just as the Father's loved me, I've loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. So here's another, there's so many things in this. And we can't in detail do a whole lot with hardly any of it because of the sake of time and everything. But he says, if you want to have joy, he said, I'm speaking these things to you so that my joy may be. And he said, if you listen to this and do what I'm telling you here, my joy will be in you, and you'll have your joy will be made full. So he said, and here's a key to joy. Here's a key to fruit bearing. And here's also an understanding as to why there's people that you thought were okay and they just dry up and go away, and one day they're going to be burned, and that's serious business. So let's look at it. I titled this Abiding, Living, Doing. You know, I could have put fruit bearing, but just sound like, okay, overdoing it. So let's start with Jesus the vine and God the vine dresser. Now, unless you raise grapes, and some of you might, do anybody have any grape arbors here? I mean, you're familiar with growing grapes? We had grapes. When I grew up, we had a grape arbor, but not like you see today. We had this big platform like this, is square that way, and the grapes grew up over it, and the clusters would hang down, and you'd walk underneath that and just pick the clusters, pick the grapes, pick them off the sides. And that grapevine, and if you haven't ever been around old grapevines, that grapevine was as big around as a kind of a small to medium tree trunk. And those things get huge. And it was by a lake, and so it got, it roots had gone down. It was getting that water from the lake. And so that was some vine. And so I had some familiarity with this thing. And then my dad would get in there, and he'd start cutting and trimming. It's like, Dad, you're killing it. No, no, you watch next year all the grapes that'll be on this. And he'd cut back all kinds of, and there'd be, you know, really big old clumps. We called them Mustang grapes. They were those real dark purplish grapes that if you eat a bunch of them, that it would break your lips. Your lips would crack open from the acid And that's the kind of, there's another name for them, and I don't remember, does anybody know what it is, but the big, the round, dark, and boy, just full of acid. But when my sister and I would go down there and we'd eat those grapes and our little mouths would crack open from the acid and do all that. And once in my life I got talked into, hey, you know, you need to try smoking grapevine. Anybody ever do that? You know, that was a big thing at one time. If you couldn't smoke tobacco and things, you know, but you can smoke a grapevine. So I went down there and I thought I'd do that. And so I cut me a little cigar-like piece of grapevine. And I thought, okay, they're telling me at school, don't believe what you hear at school, right? Did anybody ever learn that the hard way? Wow. And so I got that thing and I got it and I lighted it up, you know, and it's glowing and it's burning, you know. And you pull on that and, oh, about three pulls on grapevine. And I was burning and my mouth was burning. My throat was burning. Everything was on fire. That was the nastiest. Just, if you want to smoke grapevine, I'll tell you as a quick short substitute. Go out to your grill, grab that old charcoal and just stuff it in. That's about what it's going to taste like. So anyway, it from that experience, I didn't ever smoke. You know, and my parents did, but I never did. No, wouldn't touch it. And I didn't want any of that stuff. All it took was one grapevine. So see how much grapes can do for you and vines. But listen, where this is going is this. We don't have that much. Grapes were everywhere then. I mean, people, they were familiar with this stuff. So Jesus used something. Man, they had big grape arbors, you know, and even in the law, they were to leave a certain amount of those, not to take every grape for the poor. And they could come into the grape arbors, and they were allowed to get what was left from the harvesting. We don't see that, so it's hard to relate to this stuff. And when he says, you know, I am the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser, he said, I'm the vine. I'm the real deal. I'm what the grapes grow out from. But he said, You are the branch. You're the one that's got to produce the fruit. I'm the one you're going to get it from. And he said, for that to happen, some things are going to take place that my Father is going to do with you. And so we need to, as Christians, we need to understand it and accept that Jesus is the vine and his Father is the vine dresser and we're the fruit bearers. We're the cluster that comes off here. And he says, I'm going to come around, and even though you're producing fruit, I'm going to snip you up every once in a while. And friends, that hurts. And we run from it. And I do too. I don't want to be worked on. You know, when God gets out his trimmers, his little, you know, shears and his cutters and his... He's quite a vine dresser. And he said, I'm going to trim these grapes up. Even though you're producing, I'll trim out whatever. We'll get to that in a minute. And let's just talk to Jesus the vine, God the vine dresser. Jesus is the one we must live in. Listen, he's the vine coming up. He's grafted us in. Remember? We're wild. He talks about the wild olives and all that. He grafted us in. So now we're the branch that's going to grow out and then have the cluster of fruit. So we're grafted in, and how does that happen? When we ask Jesus in our heart, it doesn't happen by osmosis, doesn't happen by going to church, it doesn't happen by being religious, doesn't happen by knowing the Bible front to back. It happens by asking Jesus in your heart, repenting of your sins, letting him to come in your life, and then abide in him. Stay in fellowship with him. And so he's the one we live in and remain in, continue in, and to help that, God prunes. And it's like, don't prune me. And I've even asked him, don't prune this year. And then he doesn't listen. But anyway, I've asked him, you know, don't prune anymore. You know, but he removes the things that try to sprout up. Now listen, as with any tree, anybody have peaches or anything like that? And you know that on a peach tree, on a grapevine, now you're more familiar with peach trees and fruit trees probably, you get these little suckers that come out. And if you don't cut those off, you can usually pinch them off, If you don't take all those things off, it takes away from the peach. And in the grapes, it takes away from the health of the grapes and how big and rich and juicy they'll be, okay? So in our lives, there are these little sucker shoots, these little growths, these little things that sprout up that we get involved in that God looks at as little sprouts and sucker plants. And so you have to ask yourself, oh, is that why God let this happen or that happen? Because he's trimming me, he's keeping me clean so that I am a fruit bearer. And so you say, what could that possibly be? I don't know. What is it for you? Are you too carried away with something? Is there something growing that you don't need growing out of your life? You have too much love for some activity? I'm afraid to name things. I don't want to make everybody sad. But, you know, it doesn't mean because you like something that that's something he wants to trim. But have things happened to you, which they have, so that's kind of a silly question, but have things happened and you couldn't figure out why they're happening, and you may not ever, you know, you may not ever know or have known why certain things took place and why this loss occurred or that happened, but if you look at it and you look at this passage, you say, oh, was God using that to remove my pride? Pride can be like a little sucker that just takes all your energy. You get so caught up in defending yourself. Was God removing some ego? Was he humbling me? Was he taking away some lustful habit? Was he working on my anger? Was I too involved with money? Was I too involved when I'm trying to get a title or a position? I'm too worried about my self-dignity. Am I becoming selfish? And so he just started trimming. You see, that, and so when he talks about this, it says, you know, that he comes in here and he prunes. If God's pruning you, it's not for just for fun. He's doing it because there's something on you coming out of your life or in your heart that he needs to get off, get out. Are you judging people? Criticizing? Are you on somebody's case? Husbands, wives, are you on each other's case all the time? Are you telling people how to do it? This is the way you live. This is the way I see it. And a lot of those things, it can be anything. I'm just, things that just, you know, it's just a few things here. Just these little sprouts, these little smaller sucker, we call them sucker branches. They suck the life. You know, you go out here and look at some of these big mesquite trees, and what do you see often in a mesquite tree? Mistletoe. In case you didn't know that. And, you know, if you go out there and you see the big cluster, you know, we always used to have the mistletoe tradition. That's kind of gone by the wayside because of COVID and everybody's afraid of germs. But, you know, if there's somebody you wanted to kiss and you did, you know, you got a sneak attack, you would hang up mistletoe up in the air so they couldn't see it. And then you'd run up there and say, mistletoe, that was the old tradition. You know, if you walk under mistletoe, you got kissed, right? Three of you knew that and the rest didn't? Okay. But mistletoe is a parasite, and it will grow on these trees, especially these mesquite trees, kind of like the ball moss, right? You've got a sick tree when you start seeing all that stuff on the oak trees. But the mistletoe is a parasite, and you have this huge mistletoe, and they grow out, and they're sucking the life out of the limb on the mesquite tree. God doesn't want anything that's a parasite in your life that's sucking the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical life out of you. So he'll come along and he'll allow things to happen, and that's God trimming you. So you're bearing fruit. See, we lose perspective as Christians over time, and we're just here to enjoy life and go to church and get along, and God says, no, you're here to bear fruit. That's why I put you here. You have purpose. Everybody, in whatever way that God's gifted us, we're to bear fruit. And if anything is going to be a parasite, is going to suck the life out of us, then God is going to work at removing it. So what's sucking the life out of you? You got to be honest with yourself. Is it your temper, your anger, your lust, your critical spirit, an activity? What is it that you're just spending too much money on or too much time with instead of just, you know, looking to God and saying, do you want this in my life or not? Is this a parasite? Is this a growth? Is this a mistletoe? We can all identify with that. Is this something that's going to cause me later on to wither up? And so that's what he's talking about. I don't want to just belabor this and beat it to death. But, you know, sometimes it's just a fungus. Is there a fungus in your life? Is there something that's a fungus to you? Some of these TV shows you may be watching can be a real fungus. There's some of them that just really, I mean, you just watch them for a while and the language in them, we've lost that. I just don't like to watch a show that's just full of it. I don't want to hear it. And it's not because I'm the pastor and, you know, because I'm so super spiritual or anything. I hate a continual stream of that stuff. I grew up with it. If you ever been in the military, I've never known soldiers and sailors that didn't say something. It just comes as a shock to parents when they find out one of their, you know, their kids that joined the military and they heard something besides, oh, fudge. It just doesn't work that way. So it gets in your mind. See, this stuff, it gets embedded and it becomes what? A stronghold. And God is at work removing these strongholds. Habits, it gets embedded. And you say, so this is why God allows certain things to happen that wants to make me so mad or make me this or I get tempted with whatever. Yeah, he's trimming you up and he's letting you face whatever it is. Listen to me, don't run from the gardener. He's faster than you are. Just let him do his trimming. If he convicts you of something, let him go do it. Because you can't outrun God. And if you believe you can, talk to Jonah. He'll tell you all about running from God. I have a message on that we're coming to one of these days, whenever God's timing is in this. But, you know, God does prepare a big fish for all of us when we're on the run. And sometimes we don't even realize we're ducking God. But the big fish of life will come up and swallow us up. And we'll talk about that someday, but that's not this message. So just ask yourself, what are the little sprouts, the mistletoe, the fungus that's growing in my life? What is it God wants to cut back? Now let's get something real serious here for a moment. A little more personal. Did you know, listen to me, the institution of church, denomination, religion, group, Bible study thing, whatever, that can become the same thing if it's replacing your fellowship with God. And we can put more emphasis on an institution, the methodology, the way things are done. How many Christians have gotten upset and left churches because they didn't like something that changed on the platform, or something was moved, or somebody sat in their favorite seat? Seriously. And we've made that. See, that's something God, why do you think God let somebody sit in your favorite seat? He's trimming you. He's saying, there we go, snipping that mistletoe off. And a certain color, a certain thing, the way we do things, and all of a sudden maybe it changes. And you're going, oh, and that's when you ask, oh, there's God snipping away. He's saying, oh, you're too caught up. You've got something growing out. It's a parasite. It'll suck the life out of you on methodology, on how we sing music or do this. But God wants you open, get out, you know, let him out of the box. Let him be God. And the gardener comes along saying, oh, I've got to trim my beautiful little grapevine here. You're bearing fruit, but it's starting to get a little bit shriveled because you're too caught up in this and form, function, and you know, whatever. So church, denomination, religion. I've seen people go to Bible study groups. They have them everywhere. You know, they got them up there where I'm at. But I find them one day talking more about the group than they're talking about God. And they're saying, and I've had them invite me, say, oh, you got to come to our Bible study group up here. You know, well, what about it? Oh, you just love it. Our group, and we go eat together and do that together. And I guess I will one day. I haven't said it yet, but I would say, do you ever talk about God? I mean, is God the center of your group? Or is the group the center of the group? Because you never talk about God. So, you see, even something that it starts out good and can be good, don't let it become something that God has to trim out of your life. Everybody good here? Let's talk about abiding in the vine. We know Jesus, the vine, God, the vine dresser. What about abiding in the vine? What's this abiding thing? Listen, abiding is what? Living. Have a living, breathing, vital fellowship with God. Through my prayers, through church, worship. You know you're the church. This isn't the church. This is the place the church meets. Our body is the temple of living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. And then we come here together because he said in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He wants you to do that. We keep each other accountable. We look around. We make sure everybody's okay. You know, somebody's hurting. We can see that and pray for them and so forth. What's the main purpose collectively is to come and worship him and say, thank you for bringing me here. Thank you that I can be here. Thank you for what you've done for me this past week. And anything that gets in the way of that, he's going to prune. And then when to abide in Christ, we pray, we fellowship, we read the scripture, but we pray the scripture. We talk to God the scripture. Listen, let the scripture speak to you. That's the voice of God written down to us. And don't get too familiar with it. And don't take it for granted. There's a lot of people that don't have the scripture to read. Be glad that you can just openly open your Bible and you can read it, or you can go to your little tablet and you can just read the scripture. Fellowship with God. I don't want to beat this to death, but friends, this is a message that's serious, and it says, abide in me. Well, how are we going to do that? I'm going to have to pray and pray for others and pray for myself. I'm going to have to pray that I listen to God today. God, open my heart and my mind. And listen to this. Here's a warning to all of us. Don't ever think you know it, as he'll show you how much you don't know. That's why it's a scary thing to get up here and preach this word. It should be frightening to anybody to preach or teach the word of God, because what you think you know today, tomorrow he'll give you another revelation saying, you didn't quite get that, did you? So always tell people, this is what I see today. But God's word is a living, vital, active organism. It's alive. It's his word. And there's so much. I'll go back over things and say, wow, okay, there's this, there's that in this word. Don't put God in a box of saying, okay, I've studied this. I know the word. And that's the way it is. You are going to get trimmed if you do that. You're going to get pruned, because none of us know it all, only God. I'd like to tell you that I know it all. Have I studied it from cover to cover? Sure. Do I know it all from cover to cover? That when I was younger and foolish, I would say, oh, I think I got a handle on this. What do I say now? I don't know anything. I know what God reveals today, and I know God, and I know what his word says, but knowing what his word says and living his word are two different things, aren't they? It's when it becomes alive. So anyway, abiding in the vine, I live, I continue, I persevere. By the way, it's persevering. So many people give up when it gets hard. You know, and Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. What was he saying? Only my true believers, those that are really mine, are going to endure to the end. The rest were wannabes. They're false Christians. So to abide in the vine, listen, man, you know, look what he says right here. You know, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Do you realize what that's saying? He said, you can read scripture all day long, but unless you have fellowship with me, Jesus Christ, you're just going to become an old religious Pharisee judging everybody. You're just going to get so cold and full of meanness, nobody wants to be around you. Now, nobody here is like that, but you've run into people like that, haven't you? They're just the meanest Christians you've ever seen in your life. You say, what's wrong with you? Well, the old grape shriveling up and becoming a prune. I know plums do that, but they're just getting a raisin, okay? Just a little dried raisin. Anyway, listen, abiding. That word abiding, it means staying in, living in, being alive in Christ. And here's what it includes, to abide in Christ. I'm going to give you what it includes. Believe in Jesus as God's Son. Accepting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Saying, okay, we know that. And then obeying, at least consistently obeying and keeping God's word and living that word. And, you know, that's His will. Live it. Don't just know it, live it. And then continuing to believe, meaning I continue to grow in what I think I know today, I'm open tomorrow to God giving me more fulfillment, more revelation of that word in my heart. And then you know what else it is? To abide in Christ, if you're going to really abide in Him, you're going to have to develop and let God give you a love for the members of His body. How many people actually pray and ask God, God, give me a love for the members of your body? What we tend to do, and this is just a straightforward, honest, direct message, because there's not a lot of sugar to coat it with, and I don't want it to be rough at the same time, but just God's word. Listen, we tend to want to associate and love those who are like us. But God puts the weird people in the church too. God puts those who just, they're not like us. They just don't dress like us. They don't talk like us. And we got to love them too. The body of Christ is made up of people with a lot of different gifts. And I've seen the people with the gift of mercy. We have to do a study on the spiritual gifts one of these days. I used to do that about every 2 to 3 years. And go through all the spiritual gifts and then we look at how some of the gifts just don't like each other. Like the gift of prophecy and the exhorters. Mercies have a problem with exhorters and people who speak out because they're merciful. There's people with the gift of mercy that would listen to this and say, ooh, you're being hard on people. I know, little mercy, just sit there and you can go hug everybody after church and tell them it's going to be okay. But this message, it's a different gift, and we got to all love each other and accept each other that way. We have to accept our sins, but we got to accept each other. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Keep that in mind. We're here to love everybody, every member, even if they are strange. I talk about that all the time. I kind of enjoy the strangeness of people. Why don't you? Some of you are going, I'm not sure. People are fun. People are fun if you just watch them and you think, okay, you know, watch them from a distance, but watch them. They're fun. And it's fun to get involved with people who are not like yourself. That just eat things that you won't eat. You know? And I have people, tell me, Tony, how can you eat one of those smoked sardines? You know? How many of you will eat a sardine? About half. How many of you would never touch one? Okay, a few more. Okay, it wasn't quite half. Okay. How about the Spam? Spam, crispy fried Spam with mustard. Who would eat that? Oh, my. Well, Lordy be, that's 3/4 of them raised their hand. I didn't know that. How many would not touch it? Okay, bless your hearts. How many of you would eat? Okay, I'm going to do it. How many of you will really, truly eat tuna casserole? Oh. You ever sorry you ask any question? 90% of the hands went up in here. Thank you. Is there anyone besides me that just, no way, no how? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 out of the, oh. See, and you know what? God tells you, you've got to love us. There. Now, we have to close, but I need these 2 points real quick, because this one here, I don't like to say it, but I will. You know why? Because it's the Word of God and it's got to be said. There is a part here that says that those that don't abide in Christ, and it bothers me, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, Christ, Jesus, he's thrown away as a branch, and he dries up. And they gather them and they cast them in the fire and they burn. So I'm going to talk about for a moment. What's he talking about? Who's he talking about here that don't abide in him?
The sinners.
Pardon?
The sinners.
Yeah. The sinners, and also, friends, there's something to realize. You're right on the money. And we'll take it a step further. There are true and false Christians. There are people who are truly born-again believers in Jesus Christ, and there are people who were born and raised in the church. I call them the pew babies. We talked about this at times. But there are people who sincerely, they just don't get it, that being in church all your life doesn't save you. That knowing the Bible and going through all the Sunday school and all of that stuff that we used to have, you know, a lot of denominational churches still have, that's not what saves you. That adds to your, that helps you grow in Christ. But a lot of people, they've been in it so long and they've heard all the words, all the platitudes, all the prayers, all the stuff, and that they become so familiar, kind of like the Pharisees. They're so familiar with it, they don't get it. It's outward. All outward. And they look and act the wheat and the tares, right? And we can't tell the difference. But God says those that are false Christians, the sinners, that have never truly been born again, they're not going to abide. They look like they will. They act like it. They talk the talk. And then when it comes down to the fruit bearing, they don't bear the fruit. They're always in somebody's face. They're always judging somebody. They're always being pharisaical. You'll see it. By their fruits, you'll know them. I don't have to go there. You'll know. But this is serious business, because it causes us all to say, have I truly ask Jesus in my heart. And that's not to make you doubt your salvation, just to ask the question and answer it. Have I asked him in my heart? Have I really realized I got to confess my sins and I repented, asking to forgive me? And Jesus, you stand at the door and you knock. And they said, whoever opens the door, he'll come in. Have you done it? If you've done it, you're going to bear fruit. Now, you're going to get trimmed, but you bear fruit. But there are many who heard those words and they'll say, yeah, I know, you know who we're talking about, but do you know him? People get married and they think they know each other. Has anyone ever had a rude awakening with that? You know? And it's a lifetime experience of getting to know each other. It's the same thing with Jesus. You don't get to know him overnight. You grow into him. He grows into you. And they're the false Christians. It never goes anywhere. They talk the talk. They teach classes. And I'm sorry to say that every once in a while you'll find them pastoring a church. Because they're good orators. They can bring it out there. They have a charisma. But friends, do they bear fruit? And God says if they don't and they're false Christians, I'm going to take them. They can't hack it. They don't endure to the end. I'm going to take them and remove them. And watch their fate, he says. They're going to be thrown away. They're going to dry up. And they'll be gathered and cast into the fire. And the scripture, your translations say, and they are burned. You know what it literally says in here in the Greek in this? If you look it up, you can get a word study, and you look this up, and it says they are burned. It literally says, and they burned. There's a little difference. The literal translation is, they're gathered, they drop, and they burn. I have to think about this, and then suddenly it hit me kind of hard. When you know, see, deep in your heart, you know something's not right with God. You ever been there? You're out of fellowship. You know that your faith is not where it ought to be. You start burning with conviction. You burn with loneliness. You burn with yearning. And you don't put a title to it. You put an application of what is this? But it's like that missing thing that burns in your heart. These people are burned up from within. Yeah, eventually they'll be burned with fire. But the false Christians, but they're burning as they live because they know in their heart they're missing Christ. And so they burn from within. Have you ever been out of fellowship and there was that burning in your heart? You knew the conviction of the Lord. You knew He was working to draw you into salvation. But all of your experiences, your external things, all your growing up in the church or being familiar with the Word and religion and the whole thing, you're fighting it. And friend, drop the sword today. Just drop it. Quit fighting God. If there's a burning, a yearning, a hungry place in your heart, let Him feed you. Let Him quench the fire. Let Him in. So they burn. They burn until they're burned. And it's like, man, that's terrible. Yeah, that's what's going to happen to them. And I don't want to stay on it anymore, but we get it. That's their fate. And so, you know, this is just a real hard chunking thing here. It says, whoa, God prunes the Christians, the true ones, and the false ones are cut off. Oh, they may still come to church. They're in churches today, but they're burning. By the way, they're the ones that can cause more grief for more people because they're not happy with God inside. They're burning. So what do they try to do? And we've all seen it. They try to set fire to the church. What a sad, sad thing. There's nothing you can do with them except bring a word like this and say, God's given you the opportunity. You got a chance right here to get it right. I pray this message right here is preached all over the whole nation. I do. I pray. I just wish every pastor just get in this and just preach this like it is. Because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and I don't either. And don't want anybody burning within. Anyway. So what about you? Those who abide. In closing. The words we look for. From every speaker. In closing. Then closing. Okay, thank you. Those who abide. What if you abide? What? You're the true believer sitting here. What do you have? Number one. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And we can go into that someday and according to my will. But here's one thing you can count on. Prayer is an answered prayer. For the abiders, God's glorified by what? The fruit you bear. By the way, you know, when you talk about that fruit, everybody immediately thinks, it's just the fruit I'm supposed to bear, that's soul winning, right? But it is. Is it bearing fruit, leading others to Christ? But did you know what the other fruit is? There's other fruit. There's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Read it in over Galatians 5. But what other fruit is there? Faith, hope, love, joy. He mentioned joy. If you have the fruit of joy, do you think that affects people in a good way? Love, hope. Don't we need hope givers today? Think about it. You're bearing fruit doing that. You may not be leading 15 people a month to Christ, but you're giving joy to 20. You're encouraging 10. You're bearing fruit. Wow. You have an abundance of Christ's love flowing into you. You keep His commandments consistently, and His abundant love grows in you. And when you fail to keep His commandments, you confess it immediately. That's what real Christians do. They know they've sinned. They know they shouldn't have said that. They know they shouldn't have thought that. So what do? They realize they're not perfect, but they sure can ask forgiveness. And they do. And then what happens? You're open to His joy. He can bless you with joy. He can just make you a really happy person, you old grumbling, bumbling, grouchy thing. He can turn you into somebody that everybody likes to be around. Because you're not dried up old raisin or prune. You're a real healthy grape that everybody wants to come up and grab. Taste the grape. That's what God wants us all to be, is a fruit that people want to take and taste and say, wow, I like being around you. And then you can share with them, it's not me that you like being around, it's the Christ in me who is my hope of glory. Father, we thank You for Your word, the power, the love, the goodness, the grace, and the good that's going to come from all this today. We praise You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here.